Tonight then, let us return to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 6. And we would like to choose our text there, verse 11. Matthew chapter 6, and our text will be verse 11, where we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to us: "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. The title I want to give to the sermon tonight is simply Harvest Thanksgiving. As this is our Harvest Thanksgiving service, when we would acknowledge the goodness of God in providing all our food and all our sustenance, we have set aside this service to publicly own and acknowledge the goodness of God. The Old Testament church had a Harvest Thanksgiving service, which was first spoken of in Exodus chapter 23, verse 16. And it is called there the Feast of Harvest. And it was one of the three annual feasts that the males were expected to go to Jerusalem and to acknowledge the goodness of God. So the Old Testament church had a Harvest Thanksgiving. And the purpose of the feast was to commemorate the completion of the grain harvest. Now, in the New Testament, the equivalent feast was the Feast of Pentecost. That is the New Testament equivalent. And in this section that we're looking at here, we have the Lord Jesus Christ giving to us which is called the Lord's Prayer. It would probably be more accurately called the Disciples' Prayer, because this pattern of prayer, or indeed this prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to the church, is a prayer that he himself could never have prayed. Verse 12, for instance: "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." As you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely sinless, and therefore he could never pray this prayer. But he has given this prayer as a pattern, and some would say, and I would possibly agree with it, as an actual prayer to be used. But it's more likely to be a skeleton. It's more likely to be an outline. And as you would go through this prayer, you would add to it your own words. "Our Father which art in heaven" is the preface to the prayer. "Hallowed be thy name." "Holy be thy name." Reminding us that God is holy. And the first three petitions are all concerning God. "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And here the Lord Jesus is clearly teaching us to get our priorities right when we go to prayer. We are to acknowledge that God is holy. We are to pray for the extension and for the enlargement of his kingdom. And we are to pray that his will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. But we're going to look at the fourth petition: "Give us this day our daily bread," in the light of the fact that this is our Harvest Thanksgiving service. And what we would notice is, first of all, and we have three things that we want to draw attention to tonight, but the first thing we want to notice is we have an instruction from Christ. We have an instruction. And we'll go back to verse 9 for this. "For we are told, after this manner, therefore pray ye." And as I've said, he gave the first three petitions, which concern our praying towards God. But The fourth petition here, he is reminding us that God gives us our daily bread. And therefore we have an instruction from Christ that this is something that we are to petition the Lord our God for. Give us this day our daily bread. We are therefore to take this prayer. We are to take this prayer and make it our own prayer. We are to realize that this is something that Christ would encourage us, nay, command us to do, that we are to go before God, and we are to ask for this. Pray for our daily bread. And it's just not simply a personal prayer. What does it say? What does the text say? It says, give us this day. Therefore, we would pray for our own daily bread. We would call upon the living God that he might provide all that we need to help us and to succor us in this life. But we would also pray for others, because here it is, give us this day our daily bread. And this is a prayer that we are to pray continually. We are to pray this prayer daily. We are ones who will receive from God day after day, and we are to petition him for our food, realizing that we are ones who are totally dependent upon him. In Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer, it is slightly different. In Luke chapter 11, verse 3, it says, give us day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. And this would remind us that this is something that we are to continually go before God asking for. And bear in mind that when we do this, we are not to be like the hypocrites who use exactly the same words by rote. There is to be some kind of variety in it. We're asking for the same things continually, but we're not to use the same words necessarily all the time. There is to be some kind of freshness and variety in this prayer when we ask, give us this day our daily bread, or as Luke has it, give us day by day our daily bread. Give us bread for today. And then we go back, give us bread for this new day. And then the next day, give us bread for this new day. Day by day, we look to the Lord to give us those things that we need. And the petition is here, give us this day our daily bread. Now the word bread here does not simply just mean a loaf of bread, nor does it simply mean food. You will know that very often in the Authorized Version, when the Bible uses the word meat, it does not necessarily always apply simply to meat. It means food of any kind. And so it is here with this word bread. We're not simply to ask for loaves of bread. Instead, we're to ask for all the food that we need. But even again, friends, that word bread is much broader than simply our food. Because this petition that the Lord Jesus is instructing us to use, we are to ask not just for our food, not just for our drink that we need also, but for everything that we need in life. Everything. Health, strength, soundness of mind, food, clothing, shelter, employment, all the things that are necessary to sustain our lives are included in this petition under our daily bread. It's not just referring to our food. It has a much broader application than that. And that's the petition that the Lord Jesus Christ would have his people go before his Father day by day asking for these things. And this would remind us that when we come to prayer, it is important that we address God with reverence. Hallowed be thy name. That is true. But there must come to a point in our prayers when we actually ask for something. We must come before God because not only do we need to worship Him and acknowledge that there is no other God but God alone, but it is only right and appropriate that ones who are creatures who are dependent upon God should actually ask that the Lord our God would supply all our needs. Give us our daily bread, our food, our water, our drink, our clothing, health, strength, soundness of mind, employment, shelter. Everything is all embracing under this word, bread. And this is what Jesus Christ, our great King and Head, He would have us offer this prayer. Agur in the Proverbs says this in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8. He says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." And that's a very good position to adopt, because as he goes on to say in other words, that if he gets too full, if he gets too much, he might be inclined to forget about God. Or if he was to starve, or if he was to become poor, he might be inclined to steal and in some sense disgrace himself and the great God that he serves. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. This is all included in this petition here. Give us this day our daily bread. Secondly, then, we would notice, why should we offer up this petition? Well, the answer is quite clear. It's found in our text. It's found really in the very first word. It is give. Here we come before God as supplicants. Here we come before God as ones who need Him. It's very interesting what the larger catechism says concerning this petition. Part of the answer, when you look at this petition in the larger catechism, says that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God and to have them cursed to us in the use of them. That's a very sobering and solemn account and an explanation of that petition. And what the compilers of the catechism are saying, that is, in Adam, ever since Adam, we don't deserve anything from God. God does not need to give us anything. If God was going to treat mankind according to strict justice, God would be perfectly right to condemn us and to judge us and to curse us, because we have sinned in Adam and his sin has been imputed unto us. But also the very fact that we have sinned ourselves. And because of these things, we have forfeited our right to any outward blessings. God is not obliged to give us anything because of our sins. And more than that, the things that we have, He is not obliged to bless what we have. And very often, maybe today, we might realize that many people have many things and they have many outward signs of prosperity. But where is the blessing? There's no real evidence that the Lord has blessed what they have. And this is a very sobering thought. And that's why we come before God, give. We're asking because we are totally dependent upon Him. Having sinned away all rights, having sinned away all blessings, we look to His mercy and to His mercy alone. And that's why we say, give. Even When we consider more modern farming, this is maybe a bit remote and detached from us. We don't live with farms nearby, as many of us, and very few of us actually see the farm and how the food is brought to our table these days. We go to the supermarket. There is a variety and an extensive variety of food to choose from. We simply go and we can almost get whatever we want without any difficulty whatsoever. And therefore, many people might be inclined to think that with all the advancements of modern farming and food production, there is no great sense of need of God. We can do this by ourselves. We don't need God's help at all. And the minister's not speaking with great authority here, but there are modern methods of producing food. You can produce food under artificial light. You can have special supply of water, continually watering the plants and the seeds so that they grow much quicker. All of these kind of things might lead us to think that somehow God is no longer needed. And what was common and acceptable 2,000 years ago is no longer accepted. We've advanced with modern farming methods. We don't need the great God of heaven to give us our food like we once did. Nothing could be further from the truth. Absolutely nothing could be further from the truth. Without God, nothing would grow. It doesn't matter how great our imagination is. It doesn't matter how great our technical skill is. It doesn't matter how great we have mastered farming and horticulture and the growing of plants and seeds and all of these things. We still need God to provide. We still need God to give life. We still need God to send the rain and the sunshine. And he does this upon the wicked and the righteous, we are reminded in the Word of God. And therefore, this petition is telling us that we are completely and utterly dependent upon our great God. And that Word of God is true, that tells us that in him we live and move and have our being. It doesn't matter who we are or what we are totally dependent upon him. For the very air that we breathe, the water that we drink, and all life itself, we depend upon God. That's why we must come before him and ask, give. Because in Adam, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings that once Adam knew in his innocency before sin. And not only do we have to ask that God would provide what we need, our food and water and clothes and all of these things, but we are to ask for God's blessing upon these things. You might remember the history of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness. They cried out for food. They got manna. And this manna was provided fresh every day for them, except on the Sabbath, when they had to collect twice as much the day before because God was not going to supply anything for them on the Sabbath day. And this he did all the time that they were in the wilderness. But the Israelites, so typical of human nature, got fed up. This manna, they thought it a light thing. They didn't realize or they did not appreciate that it was a glorious, wonderful, supernatural provision by God for them. Day after day he would provide this. But they got fed up and they cried out for flesh. And God gave them flesh. But he did not give his blessing. And when we ask for these things that we need, these things that sustain human life, we must also ask that God would give the blessing also upon these things. To have these things without God's blessing is no real blessing. And therefore we should ask a blessing upon our food, as I'm sure we do. We must not forget that it's not just simply enough to eat, because the Bible would talk about eating and not being satisfied. And therefore, when we get these things, we are to give thanks unto God, and we are to ask that he would bless these portions to us, to our body's use. And when it says here, give, it is reminding us of our dependence upon God, but we are not to expect that God will give to us in a supernatural manner. We're not to think that he will supply what we need, whether it be food or drink or clothes, in a supernatural manner, as I'm sure you don't think. But we are to be diligent about our callings. The farmer will never reap a harvest if he does not sow. If he does not prepare his ground, if he does not go then and sow, if he does not look after his crop, and then when the time of harvest comes, and if he does not go into the harvest and cut the harvest or take the crop in as soon as it's ready, there will be no food. God will not supply food on our table supernaturally without any effort upon ourselves. It's required of us that we must be diligent about our callings to provide these things. And it's not inconsistent, therefore, to cry out to God that he would give us these things to us. But we are required to use his providence and to labor and to work and to be diligent in order that these things may well be provided in the providence of God. There is, of course, a very spiritual lesson here. We are principally talking about temporalities here, and of course we need these things. We are human, we are finite, we need our food, we need our drink, we need our clothes and shelter, we need all these things. And we must be diligent about obtaining these things, recognizing that above all, God will give them to us in his providence, if we are obedient to him. But there is a spiritual application. And as far as the harvest is, Jesus says, looking at the crowds, he had compassion on them. And what did he say? The fields are white unto the harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers unto the harvest field. And soon after that, what does he do? He chooses his apostles and he then sends them out to preach the gospel. And there is a lesson for ministers, for office bearers, and for members and adherents of congregations. There'll be no harvest ordinarily unless we sow, unless we work, unless we do our bit. We cannot just simply say God will do it. Yes, we know that God will do it, but God uses instruments. God uses people. And we are to be ones who must look for a harvest. And if we are looking for a harvest, we must prepare for a harvest. And we must prepare the ground. And we must sow the good seed of the gospel. And it may well be under the providence of God that those who prepare the ground and those who are diligent in sowing the good seed of the gospel, they might never see a harvest. It might be left to others. We don't know. But we are to be encouraged. The farmer he looks for a harvest. But he doesn't look if he doesn't prepare, and he doesn't sow, and if he doesn't keep his eye upon his field. He will not expect a harvest, but he will if he's diligent. And this is to encourage gospel congregations. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. We believe, obviously, in the sovereignty of God. But because we believe in the sovereignty of God, we are prepared to do what God would have us to do and to leave the results, the harvest, to God Himself. But no one can possibly expect a harvest if there is not preparation beforehand. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Therefore, we must always come before God with this prayer, with this petition, and we must come before Him recognizing that we need Him. We need Him to provide our daily bodily sustenance, and we also need God to bless the spiritual seed, the Word of God, that it would bear fruit in our day and in our generation. But even if it does not, we are still to be faithful. We must leave the results to God. Well, the third thing, friends, that we would notice from this verse and from the context, bearing in mind that this is a harvest thanksgiving service, it is a response from us. A response. Jesus commands us to offer up this prayer. Jesus commands us to humble ourselves before God and to realize we do not deserve any of His blessings because of sin. But God has blessed us. God has given us a harvest. The harvest has been brought in. And no doubt when the produce was ready, there's a very tight margin as far as getting the harvest in is concerned. The farmer will look at whatever crop he's going to harvest, whatever crop he has grown, he'll be looking at it. He'll be seeing the rain dropping and he'll be seeing the crop growing. He'll be seeing the sun shining upon the crop. He'll be seeing the wind drying it, and he'll be looking for that time when it's golden, when it's ready, when it's ripe. And when it's ripe, what happens? The sickle goes in, and you'll find that the farmer will work day and night to get that harvest in at the prime time when just it's ripe. Because if he leaves it too long, it can well go faulty and moldy. It goes to seed. He has a very limited amount of time, and he'll have all his machinery and all his men will be there until they get the harvest in. Well, this has happened for us. This has happened. The harvest has been brought in. Food has been brought in. There's plenty of food for the next few months until the next harvest in the will of God. Is this not a matter of thanksgiving? Of course it is. Of course. We go back to what we said earlier. Man may well be inventive. He may well be novel in his food production, but he depends utterly upon God. Absolutely. He depends upon God for his own health and his own strength, if nothing else. And therefore, our response is one of thanksgiving. God has been faithful to us yet again. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. That's a promise that he gave in the covenant to Noah. And that has been kept, friends, for generations and for generations. Someone might well say to us, but there has been famines. There has been years of dearth in certain places in the world. People are starving today because they have no food. Surely that promise is not true. Well, we would incline to agree to some extent. There has been famines and there is famines, and people are dying today because they have no food. But what you will find, if you look into this, you will find that where there is famine, there is an excess somewhere else. The earth shall yield her fruit, the Bible says. And there is no need for anyone to perish. If mankind was right towards mankind, those areas that had a surplus of food would be able to distribute it to those areas that did not have food. There is no need. And that promise, therefore, is true. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. Is this not therefore something for us to be thankful and grateful for? God has looked upon us. He recognizes we are dust. And in his wonderful grace, he has supplied again our food, so that no one needs starve. This therefore should cause us to rejoice. To rejoice for these temporal blessings. I am reminded again that because of unbelief, many people never thank God, never give it a second thought. You might think it's not a great sin, but it is. To be unthankful and ungrateful is a terrible sin. You know yourself that if you have been kind to some individual and they think nothing of it, they fail to respond, you're not looking for anything, but you would like someone to thank you for what you've done. Maybe it took you some time or whatever, or you had to put a lot of effort or go out of your way to help them or whatever. And when you find that they're not thankful or grateful, it hurts. So it is with people concerning God. You will know that the second half of Romans chapter 1 highlights the sins of the Gentiles in Paul's day. We're inclined to believe that when he wrote Romans, he wrote it from Corinthians. Or Corinth, I should say. He wrote it from Corinth. And Corinth was like many modern cities today, full of idolatry, uncleanness, debauchery. All the sins that are revolting will be seen in Corinth. And Paul highlights them in the second half of Romans chapter 1, outlining the sins of the Gentiles of his day. And in verse 21, he says this, and he's talking about the fact that unbelievers know God, but they reject God. And he says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. No thanks. They didn't acknowledge God. They have, by nature, a knowledge of God. It's not a love knowledge, of course, they don't love God, but they have a knowledge. They know God exists. They know the God of the Bible exists. Creation tells them that. Their conscience tells them that inwardly. So they have an outward witness and an inward witness, testifying that the great God of heaven, the God of the Bible, is real. But they don't glorify God. They don't consider him. They don't consider that the rain comes down and the seeds germinate and food is brought forth. The earth does its work. They don't realize or don't recognize it's behind it all is God. And the Bible notices it, neither were thankful. Friends, we must be careful that this is not said of us, Never take anything for granted. God is merciful in his provision toward us. We should be grateful, always grateful. Never take these things for granted. Remember, we talked a few minutes ago about some parts of the world who don't have food. There's dearth, there's famine, there's drought. Well, some of God's people will be there, and they will be going through terrible times. Should our hearts not be filled with thanksgiving because we dwell in a land and in a time of so much plenty? Let us be grateful then. I'm also reminded about another incident in the Gospels. Jesus came across 10 lepers, and they cried out when they saw the Lord Jesus, "Have mercy." With one voice, they were howling at Christ, "Have mercy upon us." And the incident goes on to say, after they were healed, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." Jesus took notice. All of them were cleansed of their leprosy. All of them were made clean. All of them were able to live a normal life. They were able to get back into the community. They were able to work and do the things that normal people did. But this Samaritan was the only one to give thanks. Let us be thankful. Let us be grateful. We get, by the grace of God, what we do not deserve. We have so much. Our tables are full. Our wardrobes are full. We lack none of the things that we need. Let us bless God, and let us record our thanks to him yet again for his faithfulness. And let us therefore trust him that as he has been faithful thus far, he will not stop being faithful. This is the great God that we serve in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us this day our daily bread.